Hi, this is Andrew from the fundingguru.com website. And as ever, I am multitasking, which means I am taking 30 minutes to take my dog for a walk. And in that time, I'm going to talk directly to you. There is no script. There is no studio. And I'm outside while we're talking, and I'm responding to questions and information that people have wanted from me over the last few days. So it's quite possible you'll hear the odd outside noise, cars going by, sirens, ducks, wildebeests, all kinds of crazy things. Currently walking through the snow in Buffalo, which has been going crazy recently. So we're going to be covering off some interesting things today. And specifically, it's of interest to those people who are either launching a product or trying to get funding, and perhaps without much luck, or maybe it's not going as quickly as you want. As ever, we'll get into it, but very quickly wanted to mention that if you come along to thefundingguru.com/events, EVENTS, you can sign up and find out when we have webinars and various other things that will help you in your process. And this is sponsored by tfgcoaching.com. Okay, so let's get into it. So if you're either launching a product or you're looking for funding and it's going much, much slower than you expect, there could be some key reasons. In fact, there are some key reasons. One thing you might want to think about, and one thing you've probably been wondering yourself, is why are companies which are potentially less interesting and potentially in less interesting spaces and not necessarily as big of an opportunity as yours, why are there companies like that which are seemingly getting a lot of interest, a lot of buzz, a lot of investors pursuing them, when your opportunity, your business, and the vision that you have for where you're going to take it is not getting quite that amount of traction and buzz and interest as theirs? It's almost, you know, kind of drives you crazy, doesn't it? You're kind of scratching your head. Well, you know, these companies are no better than mine. How come they're getting a lot of people pursuing them? How come they're getting a lot of interest? How come the valuations of these companies are so extraordinary? And there is a reason. And I don't even know your space. Isn't that crazy that I can tell you that there is a reason? The reason is that the reason I can say that is because, you know, nothing happens without a reason. If there are companies not as good as yours, if there are companies that shouldn't be getting the attention and yours should be, then there's a reason. And perhaps you're wondering what it is. Let me kind of take a slightly 90-degree take on this, and I'll approach it from a slightly different direction, and maybe this will help elucidate what I'm thinking. Okay? So, one of the biggest issues I've discovered working with many, many different entrepreneurs and advising different entrepreneurs and spending time with different entrepreneurs and founders of companies and inventors is many of them are very, very focused on how great their product is. Now, I call it product. It could be a service. It could be a medicine. It could be a medical device. It could be, you know, anything. Let's just call everything in that is invented and delivered to a consumer or to a client a product. So there are many founders and companies that are completely and absolutely enamored with just how great their product is. And they can list the functions and the features of their products with an absolute glowing enthusiasm. You know, they can be completely blown away with just how amazing their product is, to the point where they cannot imagine why anyone and everyone that should want the product doesn't want the product. It's almost beyond belief how anyone who could be a potential customer of this particular product with all of its great features isn't jumping through hoops and bursting through walls and knocking down doors to get to your product. And that is common in most entrepreneurs, most founders, and most companies launching products. They are very, very enamored about their products and their features. Well, I'm going to take you through something that you really do need to understand, and that's that customers and consumers don't buy products and they don't buy features. They buy benefits. They buy completely and absolutely on benefit. What is the benefit this thing promises to deliver? And I say promises to deliver because it's not even that it does deliver. It promises to deliver a benefit. And customers are hardly, if ever, logical. In other words, they're not. If you list the A through Z reasons and things this product does for them, unless you've joined the dots, and unless you've been able to communicate very, very well, very, very strongly, the absolute benefit, and even not just the core benefit, but the underlying benefit, then it's possible that customers will not beat a path to your door. So, for example, you sell a golf club, a revolutionary, fantastic golf club, and it's made from titanium. Not only is it made from titanium, but it's telescoping and I'm just bullshitting, obviously. But it's got all these wonderful features that make it the best golf club there's ever been. Well, okay, those are the features. People don't buy on features. They use features to legitimize an emotional purchase. In other words, you need to talk not just about the features of the golf club, but how they're going to be able to watch their ball traveling 20%, 30%, 40% further than a ball they've ever been able to hit before. That's getting closer to the benefit. Okay? So it's not about the titanium. It's not about the telescoping. It's not about the angle or the whatever. Those are just pure data points that an emotional purchaser will use to mentally legitimize the decision they've already wanted to make and they've already decided to make in their hearts and in their guts. So the going the 30% further, the 40% further, is closer to the benefit. But it's not the underlying benefit, and it's still not close enough to the benefit to make the customer beat a path to your door. So what is the underlying benefit in this particular case? Well, I'll put it to you that it's not the 30% or the 40% or even the 50% further. It's the look on your friend's face who's standing next to you as you hit that ball 50% further. It's a look of awe and inspiration and complete disbelief of your best friend, your best man at your wedding who's meeting up with you for a game of golf as usual, and he's expecting you to slice the ball and do what you normally do and just kind of not quite deliver what you're supposed to. And he just looks in utter disbelief as that ball just drills its way through the air and goes 50% further than you've ever knocked the ball before. That is the underlying benefit of that product. Screw the titanium and the 45 degree angle and the extra size head and all the other things that you think you're selling. You're not. You're selling not just the benefit of the distance, but the absolute underlying benefit that is what people are really looking for when they're buying your product. So let's bring that back to somebody selling not just a product, but ultimately a company to an investor. What do you need to communicate to an investor that is beyond the business plan and that is beyond the executive summary and all the things we normally talk about? Those are the basics. Those are the features. How do you get below that and understand the underlying benefit of your company and that will ultimately attract 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 investors to want to put money into your business? Okay? That is the question. What do you need to do to not just deliver the features of your company to the potential investors to get them interested? Because that's the cost of doing business. That's the kind of chips for playing. How do you ultimately position that business and put it into such a way that you'll be actually powerfully communicating to potential investors something that will really resonate in an underlying and deep way with those investors, so that they'll be desperate to put money into your company and to come on board as advisors, as board members, as long-term financial supporters and investors. Well, that hopefully gets you to understand some of the reasons why there are companies out there not as good as yours, potentially not as exciting as yours, that are getting a lot more interest than you. Well, that's something to think about. And as always, I'm going to keep this short. By all means, reach out if you have a question. Come along to thefundingguru.com. But before we go into that, I just want to say one thing. We are focused on helping founders and entrepreneurs not just get ready for investment, i.e. become investment ready, but ultimately to be able to position yourself to the point where you're hitting that underlying target and being able to get investors who are strong, capable, experienced, well-connected, financially, you know, significant investors wanting a piece of your company and wanting to be working with you to help you achieve your lifelong goals and ambitions. If you'd like to be in that situation, then come along to TFG Coaching. That's TFG as in the Funding Guru, tfgcoaching.com. Reach out via TFG Coaching and find out if there are any places available. Now, the reality is we have rarely places. We work with a select few group of companies. We work with them consistently and deeply to make them, you know, ready and help them get ready for investment and position themselves so that they're primed to get the right investors on board. It doesn't leave us a lot of time. So reach out, find out if we have any slots available via tfgcoaching.com, or come along to thefundingguru.com and reach out via the contact us page and just, you know, shoot us a note and see what situation we're in. We may have a slot available, we may not. Either way, we'd like to hear from you. So that's it. Some thoughts for this evening. Let me know your thoughts. All right. This is Andrew from thefundingguru.com signing off. Bye.